Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shop Talk Show. This week's sponsor is Environments for Humans and their CSS Summit. Go to csssummit.com if you decide it's awesome and want to go, which you will. Use the coupon code SHOPTALK for 20% off going to that online conference. It's going to be sweet. We'll tell you more about it later in the show. And also by the Shop Talk Show, Meta, hey. Meta sponsor.
Self-sponsor. Here we go. Welcome to the Shop Talk Show, a sound effects podcast about front-end web design development kind of stuff. I'm Dave Rupert, and with me is Chris Coyer.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shop Talk Show. This week, we have Val Head. Hi, Val. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yay.
Yeah.
How's it going? Are you in Pittsburgh right this second?
I am. I'm back in Pittsburgh for I think 4 entire weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if anyone remembers that I live here.
that's cool. Exiled. But
are you planning any conferences or what's going on in your life?
Got a bunch of stuff coming up in the fall. We actually just listed out our speakers for Web Design Day that's here in Pittsburgh in October. We're going to put tickets on sale tomorrow, so that's going to be a good time. That'll keep me busy while I'm in town.
Pittsburgh Web Design Day, October 25th and 26th, 2013.
Yep. Oh, going to be this. A blast.
Aaron Draplin, the man. Josh Clark, man too. Very cool. Lots of good names there.
Yeah.
We got quite a scene in Pittsburgh.
We really do. The community here is amazing. I mean, you know, we've been doing this conference and the Refresh meetups for 5 years now, and there's always a huge crowd and just really open and sharing and just really nice people who do good work. I mean, what's better than that?
Pittsburgh, known for its niceness. You heard it.
Niceness and putting fries on everything. I mean, you know.
And your baseball team is the Pirates.
Yep,
I thought I liked it before.
And you don't have a port. You're called the Pirates. Whatever.
Oh, well, you know, the Pirates. It's a great baseball stadium.
Yeah, I've heard.
You have a new book? A new little tiny book?
I do. It's the 5 Simple Steps Pocket Guide to CSS Animations. So that was a really fun one to do. The 5 Simple Steps folks are great to work with, so... I like them
nice.
A lot.
It literally will fit in your pocket.
Well, it's only an ebook, so I guess it depends what you have it on.
Funny because it looks like a little book that you can buy when you go to the website. But then I was like, it's £2, which whatever is $4 or something.
$3.50, $4, whatever.
Yeah, I think you can afford that, audience.
Definitely.
Audience. Get your euros out of your pocket.
No, it's pounds, not euros.
Pounds. Oh, yeah. I bought Jerry Cody's color accessibility book.
Yeah, we're in the same bundle, which is pretty fun.
It's good. It's kind of it's just what you want. Just a little bit of a primer, a long form, almost blog post. Or 4 long-form blog posts about something.
Yeah. No, I think they've got a great format with just the length of them. All the ones I've read, they've just been great. You can read them in a couple hours. You're like, I feel smarter for having read this. So hopefully mine does the same.
Nice. I want to. A little primer. I wrote one today and I had to look up what... Oh, shoot. Like when you repeat it, but it goes backwards. Alternate. Alternate. Yeah. I don't even remember. I was like, what is that called again? There it is.
Yeah, it's nice and confusing terms.
I was kind of hoping, because when you write, well, you know, like when I'm writing something on CodePen, I'm just like, I, you know, for production, it's different. But on there, I just like turn on prefix free so I can just write at keyframes or whatever. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of hoping that I think the new version of Sass has it, but it's there's not a stable version of Sass yet that has a mix-in for actual animation.
No, there's not, which is kind of, that would be handy. There's a lot of typing involved in these things.
It really is, yeah. Especially if you're just like hand doing it, and copying and pasting and stuff.
I've started using CodePen for, well, actually, I think Sean from Interlink tweeted that, that I was using CodePen for my workshop. Thanks, there. Sean.
Is that over? Is it?
Yeah, but
I was at it. I think I was at it the year before. I can't believe it's been a whole year already.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, "Oh, that's so cute. You're using CodePen. Chris was here last year." I'm like, "Yeah, that is kind of cool, isn't it?" But yeah, it was just last week, so it was a couple days. Got to hang out in Vancouver.
How did it work? Did you have people go to a? Do you use professor mode, or do you just have them have some pre-prepared pens you just sent people to?
Yeah, I had some pre-prepared like starter pens, which was really funny because a couple of them got likes, and I was like, dude, there's nothing in here. It's literally like some HTML, but that's awesome that you like it. I feel like I'm letting, you know.
Some people use it as like a bookmarky kind of go back to it, remember it later kind of thing.
Yeah, so I made a whole collection of starter pens for everyone, had everyone sign up for an account, and then just kind of had like a fun live coding session where they coded along with theirs. And I mean, it wasn't full out professor mode because I wasn't totally sure how well the internet and stuff would hold up. But basically, if they got lost, they could just enter the URL of my pen and save their own version. And it seemed to work out pretty darn well.
That's fabulous.
I mean, they were all in the same room, so I figured if something went bad, they're going to tell me, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to hide it. So yeah, it worked out great. It's a good use of CodePen. Highly recommend it.
Yep.
I do most of my client sites in CodePen.
I didn't mean for this to be a big ad, but I was just generally curious about how it was used. And we launched a super, super rad feature. We've been just killing it the last 3 days trying to get this out because it's so cool. Where you, like, if there's an error in a preprocessor that you're using, it just like puts a little inline error right next to where the line of code that's a problem in any of the preprocessors.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Haml or Slim or CoffeeScript or whatever. If you make a little mistake, it's just like, oh, your little mistake. It's right here, you know, instead of the kind of large crappy error we used to show before that kind of wiped everything out. And it's a little complicated because every single one of the other preprocessors, their output for an error is totally different. So we had to write interpreters for all that stuff.
Oh, that does not sound like fun, but I'm glad you guys did it.
Yeah, it's fun. Cool. So we ran into each other. I think you were at Converge, right? And you did it. Yep. And that's where I saw you last, I think.
Yeah, that was not too
totally
long
different
ago.
Talk.
Yeah. Yep. That time I was talking about type stuff. So that was, which is also really fun.
So typography and animations and creative JS.
Yep.
Is a site of yours.
Which is one of my favorite sites, by the way.
Really? Awesome. Yeah, we've been, it's been a fun one to keep up on and just see what people are making with JavaScript stuff these days. I mean, there's some crazy stuff. I don't know how they do it, but I like it.
Right.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, you just posted the, that bear ping pong with a virtual or, whatever.
Should I have clicked on that one? I didn't.
Virtual bear.
Play pong against a bear. Don't make him sad.
It's just like people are doing, it's usually the Chrome team, but there's so many people doing crazy stuff with just data and
I clicked on the wrong thing.
3JS and all that. And do you do a lot of like high end JavaScript like this or effects?
Not like crazy Pong games you play against bears, unfortunately. But though if anyone, you know, wants to hire me to make one, I'd totally be into it. I guess it's been done. But more, I guess, like a lot of animation stuff and a lot of JavaScript stuff that's probably maybe not that fancy, but just a lot of it's kind of like, how do we get this fun interactive thing done using current standards, you know, like answering that sort of question and helping people find good ways to make their projects or their sites interactive that are going to be a little bit fun, but not, you know, annoying or difficult. So no bears with Pong though. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Bears with Pong is above my level as well.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone can make a cat variation or something.
In the graphic, it looks like you hit a ping pong ball and he's a wall, so you can't possibly win. Well, it's like that, like Mitch Hedberg joke is like, no matter how good you get at tennis, you'll never be as good as a wall.
Ah, that's kind of depressing. Waka, 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 waka. Hey! But no, as you play against the bear, if you gain too many points, he gets sad. So you kind of want to lose that game so the bear doesn't get sad. It's... Yeah. Oh. You're like, oh, I'm winning, but the bear is unhappy. Oh. At least that was my internal dialogue playing that game.
poor emo bear. I'm just to email.
Well, so now everybody knows Val. That's good, because we're going to get into some questions and stuff shortly.
But before we get into questions, we have to talk about some hot drama.
That is a great sound effect for hot drama, just have to say.
This week's hottest drama, of course, is iOS 7 Ugly Stick. Everyone, what are your thoughts? I think Jason Samaria got quoted in The Verge saying it's got hit with the ugly stick, but pretty awesome. Yeah,
I was watching him live tweet because, you know, everybody, literally, you can't not respect Jason, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if he has an opinion about design, we tend to listen a little bit. He was not pleased, really. Mm-hmm. But then there was a lot of people, you know, the next day that had kind of posts that were like, give it a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you maybe see it? Did you install it? I got the impression that you maybe did.
Me? No.
You didn't?
I did not. Val, did you install it?
I didn't. I've been thinking about it, though, because ever since seeing those previews, when I look at my phone now, I'm like, it looks old.
Yeah.
And not that I really love the way iOS 7 looks, but, like, there's something about seeing it that makes my phone look old. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, but I don't know if I want to install a brand new, not really ready for prime time yet OS on my thing I use constantly.
I have a bad case of FOMO right now, but the last two betas I've installed, they wiped out like all my vacation photos. Like,
oh no.
I went to like Brooklyn beta and I had the iOS 6 beta and I thought I had totally like upgraded or whatever. Last day of my trip, it's just like black phone, like just black screen.
Suck.
Sorry, no photos.
Do you don't use Dropbox on your phone?
Well, it didn't exist back then. Oh, but yeah, it was just brutal, and I'm sworn off betas. I'm not doing them anymore. I don't do that.
I bet it'll be nice, you know, like people will bitch and then you'll get used to it and then it will improve over time and then you'll be like, oh, this is how design is now.
I don't know, Chris. Did you see it?
I saw it and I saw some good variations on it too that people spent 2 seconds on, you know, so what's to think those won't improve over time? I don't know, whatever. There was ones that look a little gross and there's ones that looked really nice, I thought, if we're talking just about icons.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the entire interface itself because I haven't seen it, but I am a fan of how things like kind of transition and stuff. I'm kind of excited to see how the like accelerometer nugget works where you move your phone.
The parallax.
Yeah, that might be cool, right?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. No? Is that a no?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see that stuff, too. I'm like, I don't know if I like how it looks, but it really depends more on what it's like to use, which I'm not going to find out for a few months. So I guess I shouldn't be too judgmental about it just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like these adult opinions. Like, maybe you should just freaking wait a minute and find out.
I don't know. It's like, you know, the colors are, I actually like the colors. I don't know if I like my OS being that color, but like my hair is some of that color. So whatever. So there's a lot of them. Like, it looks kind of like, you know, a toy or like teen movie, but I'm kind of into teen movies. So maybe it'll grow on me.
You know, so they had a video, a really like the very first part of the keynote, there was like this little thing, little video where they talk about design and there's little balls flying all over the place and they talk about their design principles and how they, you know, there's 1,000 no's to every yes and we don't ship anything unless it enhances the life of everybody that it touches, which is a little grandiose, I feel like. I mean, design does touch lives, certainly, but like to say that every decision you've ever made affects every life that it touches, I was like, okay.
Well, it was their keynote, right? They have to make themselves sound really important. Like a lot of those corporate events, just they're hard to watch sometimes. You're just like, oh, really? You think you're that important? Okay.
You think your little gear icon with 7,000 little teeth on it affects it positively impacts every life that it's ever touched?
Yeah, I feel like a few more little like spikies on that will totally improve my day.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7,000 settings, guys. In that button.
The video was awesome, though.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think
except nose was spelled wrong.
Was somebody, it? No, I think it wasn't. Somebody,
yeah, grammar Nazis pointed that out. And so, whoops, there you go.
Is it not no apostrophe S?
That's not. That's a possessive no. Oh. That means it belongs to no.
How do you do it? NOS?
NOS or ES, I think, is the official. ES.
So Apple made a grammar mistake? Shouldn't that be like bigger news than the fact that their icons
don't
match?
Both of those look more like mistakes to me than apostrophe S. They look visually like a mistake. Anyway, Dave, what else do you have?
There's one more bit of drama I was going to talk about today, and that is the issue of responsive images. Tim Cadlick.
Are we bored of this topic? Isn't this already solved?
Yep. Totally solved. And Tim Cadlick wrote a post. I'm probably going to post a post today about this, just how I feel about it in general or whatever. But Tim posted a post that is why we need responsive images. And it's kind of a response to a post by David Bushell or Bushell. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. And he wrote a post called The Raster Image Paradox, which is just kind of basically he's saying like I give up on trying to find a responsive image thing because it's the rent is too damn high. It's too hard. And so it's a very like I totally empathize with that. It's too complicated. But Tim writes a post and he uses science and, you know, how we all feel about science. But his thing is like we can like a very kind of achievable thing, like you could reduce a site by like 72% or 52.9% on tablet, but 72% on mobile if you just used a responsive image solution. And what he did is he went through all the images or all the like 471 top URLs or something and smushed all their images and optimized them. And it's pretty dramatic. It's from like 237 megabytes for all those 471 websites down to like 12 megabytes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's some impressive science.
He did
It's assuming that this is responsive images that like, you know, they should be smaller for smaller screens version of responsive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, Val, I'm sure you're up to date ish on this, or you at least know about the need for all
this.
Yeah,
like,
me either. I just was. But have you ever like actually worked on a site and be like, we have to do this and figure and used one of the existing solutions?
I've used Picture Fill. Is that what it's called? I think that's, mm-hmm. Sometimes I say the names of things and get them totally wrong. And nothing that I've used feels right. And that's always a big question. I felt like on projects I've worked on recently where like, we need to do something about these images. What are we going to do? And nothing quite seems perfect yet, or everything seems just a little bit hard, I guess is what it comes down to. But I guess that's just kind of what we got to deal with for now until there's a better solution.
Yeah, that's the sentiment of the world right now.
Yeah, like I was like, oh,
the sad trombonist thing of all time.
It's not like you, and you have a sad trombone. Amazing. I love the sound effects.
It's actually a real trombone. I have.
Oh, you actually have like someone in the back corner, just like cue sad trombone.
It's a little expensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I said, Chris. If we're doing the show, I gotta have Paul Schaefer.
Like live music sound effects are really important. We need to have this guy.
Yeah, this is the most important thing. We're bankrupt, both of us, actually.
But you have a trombone player.
Yep, a really good one too. Can only play one song, but he's really
good.
Make
me a sandwich.
Oh no.
Well, so yeah. So
weren't we? I liked Dave's idea that we talked about before the show for 2 seconds, where he's like, what if, let's say you needed to take responsibility, like not doing this wasn't an option anymore. Like you're a big web app and you have a team of developers. It's not something you can do in an afternoon, but you're willing to dedicate a little team to do it and throw some money at it, for example. Mm-hmm. You could have like a box for it, like one, fire up a server that's just your media your little personal CDN that, like, you know, maybe there's a uses the cookie technique where it, you know, figures out what size, you know, screen is currently in use, and then that media server, when it gets a request for an image, knows what type of device it is, you know, ish, as best as it can. Not user agent string, but real data, and then serves it up so that there, if you just make a request for dave.jpg, it'll be like, oh, I know what dave.jpg to send.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really curious. Like, I want to think through this idea of, like, media servers. You know, we have, like, there's, you know, audio, video, and whatever. Like, wouldn't it be cool if I just say, like, point to whatever my cat image or whatever .img, it could be something totally dumb, and the server would just be like, cool, you support WebP, I'm giving you a WebP. oh, cool, you support JPEG, I'm giving you a JPEG. Oh, cool, you support SVG, this is a good SVG or something. I'm sure it's just
a little tricky because you have to have a file extension in the browser.
That's true. I mean, like, you could just say, like, I mean, maybe there, I don't know. Maybe there's something. I don't know. I'm just
Can you,
like,
link up on an image that doesn't have a file extension. I wonder. You'd have to figure out how browsers deal with that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's cool if, as long as, like, the MIME type is right. You know.
Yeah, it could be a security issue too. But I'm just curious. But, like, because it would also work for, like, audio. Like, we serve MP3s on the Shop Talk show, and some people come in Firefox and they have to use Flash to view it. You know, wouldn't it be cool if, like, it switched it to whatever Ogg Vorbis,
like, whatever that other format is,
whatever the whatever people in Firefox land think I'm going to encode my audio to, but, like, or what?
Hey guys, I got a new idea for a file format. It's called
Snarf. yeah, this is just ridiculous. But anyway, but I just, like, it's been talked about, and I know some people do that, like Tiny Source or what, or Sencha, and
yeah, there's some services you can sign up for that will do that. I think Sencha is the one that I've seen before.
But I feel like we need it to be an open source thing and kind of not black box. It needs to be very well documented or whatever.
Self-hosted.
You know, yeah. Self-hosted. Like you should be able to put a subdomain on CSS Tricks and route all your images to the subdomain or something. And it should just work. And it should also be CDNable. I got a long
list
of requirements.
There's a number of Mobify's getting into this. There's Sencha or Tiny Source. Yeah, right. There is. But there's a couple other ones too.
WordPress, one Photon.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
I just, the problem with those services is like, if it becomes too expensive and you need to switch, like, you're totally hosed.
You're just,
and if,
like, how do I move all of this stuff?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's that complex of a thing to host yourself.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is, like,
it'd be a
where's
tiny
the
little
self-hosted
Sinatra
option?
App that...
Where's the self-hosted option? Give it to me, internet. I'm unsatisfied. Give it to me. All right. Well, that's all I got there. I do. Should we get in? Or you had one?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to kick it off with a very serious question from Jamie Britton. Wrote in and said, what is green and loves typography? What is green and loves typography?
Usually the answer to those questions that start with what is green is, the answer is Kermit.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog.
Oh.
That was pretty good.
That was kind of awesome.
That's good. And then there's another one. Hold on. Guys, I got one more. Okay. This one is a pejorative. Okay. It's, yo mama is like HTML. Tiny head, huge body. Yo mama jokes about HTML. I'm impressed. I'm really, that was from Austin Baum. Thanks, Austin, for sending that in.
Tiny head. We have a question here from Dave. Please pronounce that.
Oh, this is from Matija.
Yep.
Maronique, I think.
Very good.
I did. That was tough. Okay. Matija wrote in an audio question. So our favorite kind of question here on the Shop Talk show. Here we go.
Hey, guys. My name is Mate Maroknic, and I have a question about units in media queries. First, I was using pixels. Then I read an article by Liza Gardner that EMs are better because they retain your typographic choices, like number of characters per line, and they're great for zooming in and out. I'd really like to use EMs, but what I liked about pixels is the way they can be stacked. I can go from 0 to 480 pixels, then from 481 to 600 pixels, and so on. Leaving a distance of 1 pixel ensures that the website viewed at the width of 480 pixels won't get styles from both media queries. How to solve this problem in EMs?
I actually just understood this. I didn't at first when I put it in here. I thought it was just like, why are EMs better kind of thing. But so the media queries, if you're going to write mutually exclusive media queries, you might go like, you know, from 0 to 100 pixels and 101 to 200 and 201 to 300 or whatever. EMs aren't as fine-grained, or are they? Would you just add some decimal points to the EMs, or an idea val, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I don't know if that would, I guess I don't usually write mutually exclusive media queries, so that to know for sure if you did it in decimal points that you would still get something as accurate as pixels, though what are pixels anymore? I feel like it's like a puzzle question. I'm not totally sure.
It is pretty weird. What you just need to make sure that even if you're not writing mutually exclusive ones, it might be weird if two of them were, I don't know, affecting at once that you weren't expecting them to be or something. What you want to make sure is that the browser never registers like in between two where neither of the media queries are in effect, and you're like, whoops.
But I
would think if you used like two decimal points on an M, I think you would be so close. It would be, you know, finer grained than the browser reports, you know.
That's true. How it doesn't go much further than that. I don't think it can't.
A browser might not even, it might not even, you might have to do like, you know, from 0 to 20M and then from 21M up, you know, like I that still might work, you know. Mm-hmm. The browser probably doesn't report any decimal at all. Although, you know, you may want a breakpoint in between two M points. I'm not sure. Media queries in M are kind of cool because there was a, I'm not sure if this is fixed in Chrome or if it's going to get fixed or all of WebKit or whatever. When you zoomed the page, it wouldn't reevaluate the media query, and it would in M's, which is kind of cool.
That actually got fixed.
Yeah, I think that's working. Fixed.
And okay. I found out on the accessibility project about that, but then it also like doesn't do some stuff quite yet. It's sort of, you know, it's cool. It's Chromey. it works, but kind of not. But I usually do either 0.9999 thing, or I think, isn't it max width like exclusive though? Or like if you have like a max width, it'll not do that pixel. Like if you said like from 0 to max, or min width 0 m's, whatever, to max width 10 m's, and then you had a min width 10 m's, I think it would inherit the, I don't know.
Yeah, but which one of those does it, which one gets the actual number if it's just a range? I don't know.
Which gets 20 or whatever, 10 m's exactly. I think it's min width. Like Max is saying, like, don't do anything if it hits this or
correct.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So you can, like, I guess, Matija, you can, like, clamp them in with a min and max width. But sometimes, you have to use the .9999 trick. Or just use pixels, because it sounds like they may work as well. So
no, it's nice that you're using M's. I mean, presumably you're using for typography as well. I mean, he said, I guess, in the question, he said that he does. So that's good, because relative typography is pretty cool.
Yeah, they are pretty awesome for that. You can just, but, you know, you can just set things and go if you're doing M's. But I guess it might also be weird if you're measuring all your other widths and pixels and you're only doing your media queries in M's. I don't know if that I don't know if that makes it better or worse frame for you as a, you know, trying to keep track of all that.
Yeah.
There's so many units to use these days. How do you decide?
REMs are just better. I think that that's the answer. It's kind of like how my opinion is this just universal box sizing border box is just better. You should just use that. There's no use case which it's not better. I think REMs are that way too. I think REMs are just better. Right. If you're evaluating them only on the fact that every browser would support it or everything that you need to support. They're not better quite yet because of the lack of support in some stuff.
The support's a lot better than I thought.
But then, it's different in media queries. REMS in media queries is a little light on the support.
Would you ever need to use REMS in media queries, though? Because I think... I think if you use M's in media queries, that M is always based off 16 pixels, no matter what you do.
Even if you change,
I could be wrong though. Maybe
I think I've heard that too.
Yeah, I think it's always based off 16, no matter what goes on. That's why you can get things to change when you zoom in. I think in my head that makes sense. Whether it makes sense out loud, and it's still. We'll find out, but
it bothers me a little bit. I think it would be cool if it was based on 16 pixels, unless you change it on the HTML element.
That would be kind of nice to have control over that. Well, I guess
it just would make sense. I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have some research to do possibly there, but I think you'll just use them just like you would pixels, and I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. Also, if you're listening, make a code pen. And make a code pen and disprove us in the comments. That sounds good.
That does indeed.
I like that way of solving the question. We're like, we don't know if they're always 16. Someone else fix it and post it. Or find out and post it.
There was. Oh, indeed. Yeah, please do. Audience.
Someone must know what's the right answer on that, so they can share.
If you need to use a meta tag in CodePen, you open the settings for HTML and put it up there. Somebody just had that problem recently that they tried to – just because some of these CodePen or bins work in different ways a little bit, and some of them have – you put the doc type and everything in the HTML area. Mm-hmm. CodePen doesn't work that way. So you don't put your head section right in the pen. Put it in the settings. That way that will get applied in all the views in the right way. So just in case somebody's actually testing this, you probably will need a meta tag to make sure that it works. Put it in the settings. Okay. Pierre Lemon. God dang it. I am the worst. What do you think about the new front-end framework Topcoat.io? It is created by Adobe and is completely free. What's interesting in this framework is that it's entirely CSS. They refer to PhoneGap a lot in the support videos. There's a desktop version. What's up with that? You know what? I'm going to read the next one, too, because I feel like we might as well talk about all these in a row because they're just hot topics these days. Ben Tortora asks, I am not sure if you guys will cover it in a future episode, but Yahoo announced purecss.io.
This week, the .ios.
I don't know. I'm a big fan. This week, I have a quick play, and it's a nice alternative, presumably to I don't know. When you say alternative and reference the CSS framework, does that just mean alternative to Bootstrap?
That's what I assume.
I think so. Yep. Yep.
If you need something small and fast, but the bigger issue I'm facing now is what is the gold standard of the workflow? Anyway, he kind of goes off and asks some other questions here, but he was mostly asking about what's up with purecss.io, and Pierre was asking about what's up with topcoat.io. Have you guys seen these things?
Mm-hmm. I've been following Topcoat.
Yeah, I've seen Topcoat, so I haven't heard of the Pure one before.
Pure looks good.
That's
it looks
Yahoo.
Like it's
they're both
Yahoo.
Have big players behind them.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is all these big players are kind of getting in on the what would you call it? Like
I feel like there's another
game.
One too.
Well, Brad Frost had that Pattern Lab, but that's a little bit different. It's not prescriptive in style. Pure is nice. It's like flat. It's like flat Bootstrap if you like if you want to do the iOS thing. But and it's cool. It's got some photo gallery, like Flickr style photo gallery. They made this email template that's totally responsive. It's like basically a responsive email app.
Is it just, nice?
It's pretty nice. Yeah, it's in their demos It's
I generally
convincing.
Just use whatever is in MailChimp because theirs are all responsive too. So
I didn't know that. That's pretty handy.
Mm. I don't know if they all are. I think they are, though.
They have some responsive options. That's good enough.
Yeah, they do smart stuff, too. Anyway, yeah.
But Topcoat's cool because, I mean, Adobe's doing it. I'm not sold on their, like, mobile and desktop bifurcation. But Brian LaRue, who made PhoneGap, he's been working on it, I think. And that's kind of why I think they talk about PhoneGap in their support videos and stuff like that, is because they made it.
Because this could be a native app. You could mock something up with all these components and then turn it into a native app, and that would be cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like your Bootstrap is turning into your native app. Like, there's a workflow for that. One thing that's cool about Topcoat, and this is where I'm super interested, is bench.topcoat.io. They are like benchmarking how long it takes a button to render on a Nexus 4 every commit. Like, so like they have one commit like from 2 days ago, and then they have the next commit, and it's like going down in render time. Like in milliseconds or something.
What?
Yeah, I'm just looking at that now. That's kind of, I would never have thought to look at something like that or look for something like that. So they're really into being speedy.
I think so. Like getting close to native. If you click the navigation bar,
I want to talk about this. What is going on? Well, you finish your.
Oh, they just like dropped the render time like 900 milliseconds. It's just crazy. They also increased.
But a button has, I'm looking at their buttons. There is a border. There is a box shadow to get the inner thing. There is a gradient. There is a border radius. Like, what can you remove from that to make it render faster?
I don't know. I think they're just trying to make sure that they don't like break something hideously.
I guess publicly keep track of them not bloating the project up a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if like a few milliseconds on a button, if that's anything you'd really notice, but it's sort of helpful to know they're not, you know, that they're looking at this and are aware of, you know, whether their project is going to have a bunch of extra stuff you don't need. I'm assuming.
Yeah. Especially important on mobile, which is one of their targets.
Yeah. That might be the other reason they do a lot of the examples in PhoneGap. Mm. Or for PhoneGap things, I mean.
It is pretty interesting. Like, how fancy can we get with CSS styles before it's a problem? And maybe that's part of the kind of why this whole flat thing has become a keyword, is that the sites that tend to be flatter have less stuff that makes them slower. So we just like them better unconsciously.
I just thought we made up all those names so we designers, you know, we all had something designy to argue about.
Yeah. it's gonna get hairier and hairier.
Because
now it's like flat design doesn't mean no box shadows. It just means not like a lot of them.
Are there many
unless sometimes. I don't know.
Are there any arguments over whether iOS 7 is flat or not? Because I think I've seen some tweets of people saying it's so flat, and other people being like, no, it's not flat design. They have gradients. And I feel like I would like to just watch that argument for a while and just kind of, you know, be concerned for humanity.
Make some popcorn.
App. Oh, yeah. We got to get coffee mugs made. But you just want to like sit out on your lawn with a hose and just spray those kids down and just say, nerds.
Do we sound like a bunch of bitter old people? Because we're like, those arguments are so silly.
Welcome.
Kinda. It's a little boring. I wish we would get all pissed off about it. That'd probably be a better podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll play the role of really upset. I read some Medium articles, right, about dudes like, icons are like their own artwork. iOS icons are their own artwork now, and you're tearing that away from us, Apple. Why?
What?
And I laughed out loud when I read it, but I do sort of understand this. I mean, if you think of things like Soft Facade on Dribbble or something like that, I mean, super talented dudes, they do really rich icons. Basically, they just got their lunch cut.
Is there going to look weird? Look, I'm looking at the Tweetbot. You guys use that on
your
iPhone, and it's the little like blue bird, and his beak is a cone, and it's really neat, and it's really gradient heavy and three-dimensional and rich. Little Tweetbot dude's going to look a little weird on there.
You think people are really going to, or the only reason people were into that is because of Apple icons, and if they move away from it, people won't want the realistic things? I don't know. Yes. Because some of those are just really beautiful icons, and if they were mine, I'd kind of not really care if Apple was all flat. If I had a pretty bird or whatever else is my icon, I'd be like, screw you, Apple. I'm doing pretty icons if I want to.
That's a good point. Like maybe rejecting it and doing something super three-dimensional and crazy will actually make it stand out more, and people will just continue to like that.
Yeah.
Or will it be odd duck after a while?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they do cause a whole... Well, I guess they were the last ones with these super realistic icons, right? Because Windows is all very tile, or Windows Phone is very tile based. And I haven't used an Android phone in a very, very long time. So maybe that makes me a horrible person, but I can't remember what their icons look like.
Android's pretty mismatched. It's the like camera is super skeuomorphic, but like the Chrome icon is obviously just an orb.
Yeah.
The phone's really skewed, but I think they're going to change it. I don't know. The maps is pretty flat. It's like angled, but it's really flat. I don't know. They're kind of all over the place. I'll be honest. I like Android, but it's a little all over the place on the icons.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see that shift. I don't know if that will affect everyone else, but hopefully, I don't know. Maybe hopefully people will kind of go with their own thing and not just follow. Oh, that's silly. Of course they'll just follow what Apple does.
Yeah,
I think it will be a change, you know. Speaking of CSS and stuff, the Environments for Humans are our longtime sponsor on here. Really good folks. If you go to csssummit.com, that's their big event of the summer. It's an online conference. It's the fifth annual one, 3 days long, July 23rd, July 24th, July 25th. You'll be redirected when you go to csssummit.com to the real URL. So don't think you did something wrong there. That's just how they operate. And then you'll see all the different speakers that they're, including Val, right?
Yep.
Animating CSS infographics. Every time you talk, it's something new and interesting.
How do you do it? I'm glad it's new and interesting. I was talking with Chris about, you know, what sort of stuff they wanted in the summit, and I'm working on some stuff that's a lot of animations for infographics. So he was like, you know what? I really want infographics in the CSS summit. And I was like, I can do that for you. And that's kind of how that went down. So it should be a fun one.
Well, you're going to use like data from this conference somehow? Like who's going and what are their favorite?
You know, that would actually be a good idea. Maybe I can get some data on them for it. But, yeah, it should be fun. It's my first online conference there, so I'm a little nervous. I've never presented to people who weren't actually in the room with me, so a little freaked out, but I think I'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. That's happening right now.
Yeah, I will present to my cat. He's very into CSS. Kind of puts him to sleep, though. A little embarrassing. But he will be my audience.
Yeah. You'll like it. It's cool. The chat room is the best part, because you can... People ask more questions than they tend to at actual conferences. And there's like 1 second of weirdness after you're done with your talk where you're used to like coming off stage and having people be super nice to you for a minute, you know, that you're familiar with.
It's just quiet and your cat's staring at you.
Yeah.
He's just snoring in the corner like, what? Oh, you were talking? Oh.
But then you just watch the next speaker and it's good.
Yeah. No, I had a good chat with Brad about it over the weekend. He's like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry. I'm like, okay. I think I can handle this. It just seems a bit weird to do, but I guess you're right. On this sort of Skype stuff, we do it all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting feeling, but it's
I moved to California and I didn't have internet and I had to use my neighbors but they just had a baby, so I couldn't do it inside because I would wake it up. So they're like, you can use my garage. So I put my computer, I set it up on a bench in their garage. So the backdrop was all their crap in the garage, and then like the only light in the whole room was the garage light, and then it went off because I wasn't like moving around enough, you know. It looked super creepy. So the only thing that was lighting my face was my computer screen, which made it look like a horror movie for a minute. And then I had to go walk away and open up the garage door, which then the sun came right in at the camera and like blinded everybody. And then it was not my most professional.
I'm going to have to think about my setting. I was going to do it in my garage, but I guess.
I don't have a garage, but.
Refactor.
Like, you know, it would be a great setting for a conference? Garage.
But the CSS Summit is going to be awesome, and use the coupon code 20 ShopTalk for 20% off. Saving it is literally their biggest, best online conference. And, you know, I've talked about before on the show the coolnesses of online conferences. They're less expensive. There's less travel. There's more interaction. You get the videos of it.
No pants.
You can play with code right there. Yeah. Yep, pants optional. Okay, so that they're our only sponsor this week, and we've already been gone long enough, and I said, oh, we'll just sponsor ourselves or something dumb like that. But I should say that we do have some sponsors coming up. Don't feel bad for us, but we also have some openings coming up. So if you have a awesome company and you want to reach the Shop Talk audience, which we can tell you all about, they're very attractive, very rich, very, you know, just whatever demographic your company is, that's also our demographic.
Hey-o. Basically, our demographics is the
right one.
Rich people
with extra money.
Heaps money bins. Actually,
just go to shopdoc.com, click the big thing that says advertise, or go to /advertising, and I'll tell you all the details about it and stuff. And we'd like to have your company on, especially if it's cool, or only if it's cool. Okay, let's do some more questions though.
Here we go. We got a question from, Patrick. Oh, wait, I jumped way too far ahead here. That's Andy okay. Guzman writes in, could you talk about the techniques used to produce the new Mac Pro page on Apple.com? Is it literally just firing off MP4 videos while you scroll to the next section, or is the scrolling working the same way you would scrub back and forth a video playhead? Is it witchcraft? And the link is apple.com/macpro. Yeah, I'm sure you guys saw this. It's epic parallax USA. Did you guys?
I am looking at it.
Decipher how they did it.
I mean, certainly HTML5 video has, you know, JavaScript APIs so that you could watch the scroll position and affect the playhead position of a video, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a little more complicated than that because it doesn't, like, it's not parallax how you think of, like, frame by frame by frame. Some of it is, but some of it is, like, once you get to this point, it just will play.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's true, complete, like, timeline control.
Right.
But they make it seem like it is, at least most of the time.
Pretty close. It's pretty good. It's also 25-ish megabytes or something like that, 150 requests, something like that. I looked at it at once. So it's one of those ones that people like to, you know, that's like a common thing, right, where people are like, this is unacceptable and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know which if it's it is. I mean, for this itself, I don't think it's unacceptable. If every site on the internet was like this, totally unacceptable. But, like, they're trying to sell you their super awesome Dyson Mac. sorry, that's what it makes me think of. But, like, it's this amazing new thing. They want you to be amazed by it. They want you to show you how incredibly awesome and better and just different it is from anything else. So why shouldn't they have a site that's humongous? I mean, that's what they need to show.
Maybe there's a mobile version of it that isn't this big, or
I don't think they do. They do something a tiny bit responsive. I went to look at it on my phone. I was actually impressed that they seem to have made some effort towards responsiveness. I was shocked.
Yeah,
it's not something you usually see from Apple, but I don't think it's any lighter. I think it's just
different looks,
mangled around a little bit, but reformatted slightly, but I don't know. I didn't look at how big it was, but I didn't notice anything that made it look like it would be smaller.
I feel like social responsibility factors into these discussions usually, where if it's like the government website for finding sex offenders in your area and it was a 80 megabyte website, that would be a problem. But if it's to sell you a computer that's a desktop computer,
I mean, you're not going to
maybe it's okay that it works.
You're not going here because you desperately need in a second to know about the Mac Pro. You're going here for all the information about it, and you kind of want to be in awe about it. It's not mission critical, I hope. I can't think of a situation where it would be.
Yeah.
I would maybe appreciate a alternate version, but just so I could look at specs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't like the scroll hijacking at all.
You can't see the scroll bar.
What's that?
You can't see the scroll bar. No. Let's see how it's looking in Firefox where you can't hide the scroll bar.
It also feels a little bit off. Like, it feels like you scroll a ton to move it just a tiny bit. Like, the responsiveness in that sense to me doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, you're just scrolling to trigger a video. Yeah. You know,
it
like, you're just, you're just like, you scroll, they swap out an image for, and they play a little bit of the video div, and then they hide that, and then they're kind of just walking you through a PowerPoint, basically.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that for like every website. This one, it's like, this is maybe the best implementation ever of this or whatever, you know, cause it's Apple, but, I like websites to be websites, but that's me.
Just doesn't work in Firefox.
It just doesn't work.
Really?
You just can't scroll down.
Oh,
I don't know how they did
good
it.
Good luck.
I don't know how they did it on the phone. On the phone, because you can't do like inline videos on the phone. So maybe they use some canvas trick thing. But you know, that's interesting. You talked about Firefox cause they shit canned Firefox through the whole, keynote. Like they were just like Firefox, lol. It's no good. like
I wish they actually said those exact
pretty
words.
Oh no, you have to click the button. I see. So you have to click your way through it in Firefox.
Oh, is that why?
Oh, no, now it's working. Oh, forget it. It didn't seem to work at the top. Anyway, that's weird. And Firefox is better than Safari. So there you go.
Yo.
I still like Chrome the best, but it's a little embarrassing how never Safari updates.
Yeah.
I was just using Calc for something. I was like, really? Safari, you're the last to support it? Boo.
Doesn't do pseudo element animations either.
Oh, yeah. Right. Even though their parent, you know, wow.
I know.
The thing that you're based on does, dude.
I wanted to use this in my workshop, and I'm like, I feel like I can't show this if it doesn't work in Safari at all. Because it's kind of a big deal. So we did something else instead.
So OS X Mavericks will have Calc when it comes out.
Yeah. Well, I think iOS, Safari 7 or whatever, is you can get it somehow, right? In the past, I've made great lengths to get the newest Safari just for testing. Mm-hmm. And now I don't care anymore. It's good enough. I don't know.
Low man on the totem pole. All right. Chris, you want? Should we do one more?
We should probably.
Val, do you have time?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Chris, I'll let you choose.
Let's pick Ryan the Lou.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of freelancing these days, but when I do / did, I noticed there is a huge imbalance in the pricing / skill level between all of the web designers in the area that I'm in, Tacoma, Washington. I would see designers charging thousands of dollars while using super dated design technology, tables and GIFs and crap. I would also see great designers charging $15 an hour to make really aesthetically pleasing modern functional websites. How are you supposed to price yourself competitively when there is no solid standard? Maybe find a niche? Have you noticed this phenomenon? I think that's an interesting thing. So it's not only that there's expensive people and cheap people, because we all know that, but even inside of that spectrum, there's people that are expensive but suck and cheap and good. Man.
The imbalance.
Do you do freelance, Val?
I do. That's pretty much all I do. I run workshops, teach workshops, and do freelance.
Is there crappy designers in Pittsburgh that might get clients that you could otherwise get that charge more than you do and are worse?
I think a lot of it is like pricing is such a thing we don't ever want to talk about. I think a lot of it is like just not wanting to talk about money. I think some people undersell themselves. And then I also feel like there's kind of this agency phenomenon, right? Where there's these agencies that are maybe like more like traditional agencies, and they get hired by various companies to also do their website in addition to whatever media buys or whatever things traditional agencies do. You can tell it's been a really long time since I've worked in an agency, whatever they do. And then these, you know, these agencies still make their websites, and maybe they make their websites like it's 1995, but yet they still charge like a gajillion dollars for it. And that part I don't understand, except maybe that some companies are just more comfortable with an agency and aren't aware of the actual landscape on the web, right? I mean, some clients don't know the difference between a site that was built like it's 1995 and a site that's built like it's 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just business as usual, and it's, you know, nobody has stopped paying their bills yet. So yeah. Why chain?
Well, exactly. I guess if you were, I don't know, some people just like to be comfortable, right? If you've been doing the same thing for years and people still pay you money for it, I don't know. Why would you want to change?
Yeah, as we're like, you should change for the generic concept of web embedderment.
Yeah, and they're like, why?
They're like, they're like, sure, I'm going to actually go have a cocktail, but, you know, send me an email about that.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of us, you know, like people like me and you guys, we like to stay up to date and, you know, keep going with what's new and make things better and find new, hopefully better ways to do things. And I think we forget that not everyone in our industry is like that. It's kind of sad, but it's true. And I think just, I mean, as far as to help answer the question, I guess it's being specializing in something, knowing how to define how you are better than the 1995 guy. I think it's all in communication, right? Of being upfront about pricing and being upfront about what you do and why it's valuable. And that's really hard to do, but I think that's how you get around that. You just have to seem more trustworthy and more betterer than the other guy.
I like that. There may be some, you know, like if Ryan, it seems like your only determination here was the quality of the website. And of course, that's probably the most important thing here, but there is some concept that maybe the people that charge a lot, are better at the, you know, the client services part, are better at the shoulder rubbing and the walking them through the process and figuring out what problems they need to solve and that type of thing. And that aesthetics is only, you know, a small part of that.
Yeah, that part's the most important part for actually ever getting things to the point where there might be something live for you to look at, right? You could be the best designer ever, but if you can't handle clients, you're never going to be able to get a project done. They like, you know, there's that exactly. Relationship has to be good for you to accomplish anything.
That's why I was such a, because I'm bad at both of those.
You know, it can definitely be tough. Managing clients is not easy, and it's not something you learn in design school, right? You know, you're just kind of left on your own once you're done that. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It is. Ryan, you had the idea of niching out a little bit. Definitely do that and take Val's advice that you should be good at the explaining why you're better. I think that's a good advice.
Yeah. I think you got to realize, I think that what you said about agencies charging a lot and then producing, like they charge a lot, that's probably because they have all that client stuff, all those skills. Why they're producing crap is probably because they're handing it off to a junior designer because their senior designer is like too busy in meetings. So like, that's, to me, that's like a tragedy for the client. I'm just like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then it's also like a tragedy, like these really great designers charging $15 an hour. It's just like, dude, that's like two hamburgers.
You gotta, is it even two hamburgers? That seems no money at all. It's like a coffee.
Yeah. I mean, you just gotta have some self-respect. I mean, you know, websites cost money. With all that we put into them, like even subconsciously, they cost money. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Also, give me the name of that guy charging $15. I'd like to subcontract him.
Should we just have like an intervention for that guy? Just call him up and be like, look, dude, you can't be charging that kind of money. You're worth more than that.
Yeah, dude, I wish we had his phone number right now. I would call him from Skype and just be like, hey, is this John? John, let's talk about your rate, bud. Or just like prank call him, like, how much do you charge for websites?
Wouldn't
that be cool?
God, what if you did that and then undercut him?
Like, no, you got to charge more. I'm going to charge the same client $14 an hour. Take that.
Maybe we should start doing this. Should be our thing. We'll just call like famous agencies and act like clients. This is a Pepsi. Happy Cock. How much is a website?
I like that. That's your Pepsi voice.
yeah, guys. Hi, this is Jeff from Pepsi.
Well, now that you said you're going to do that, it's going to make it pretty hard to pull.
I just read a hilarious tweet about Pepsi, and I favorited it, and that's not on my favorites. It was just like, I was at a restaurant last night. The wait, it was somebody like at replied Pepsi, like, are you okay? I was at a restaurant last night and I ordered a Coke and the waitress was like, is Pepsi okay? And I was like, I didn't know. Like, I just got into a car accident. I don't know. It's funnier in tweet format.
This is good. I think that's a good place to end it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had some good advice there.
Good. Brought to you by Pepsi. Hey, Val, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can people follow you, get in touch with you, give you money?
Yeah, thanks for having me. You can find me on Twitter at VLH. My site is valhead.com, and you can totally buy the Pocket Guide to CSS Animations on 5 Simple Steps. That's how to find me.
Awesome. I might go ahead and do that this afternoon.
Great.
Well, cool. Thanks everyone for listening in the chat room. Sounds like we actually got some facts coming in. Real quick, there is a code pen from Brouhaha that says both styles are applied at 600 pixels for min width and max width.
Ooh,
so
good to know.
Overlapping. So good thing we have chat rooms. All right. We'll include a link in the show notes. And thanks everyone. Follow us on Twitter at Shop Talk Show. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate us a 5. It's just that easy. And Chris?
ShopTalkShow.com.